Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. I'm Black Hollywood Live. Today, Apple's got a new operating system. They got new iPads. They got new home speakers. They got everything. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
Villainous nigga with a sick ass mouth and a slick ass flow. Catch up around me, nigga, and I'm playing when I'm coming for the kitty. Got my full goddamn.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. Shall we break down? Shall we break down tech news and nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective? Ooh, almost missed it. I'm Joe Braswell, joined as always by my man Akili Shine. What's up?
What up, man?
What's up? We got my man Gold Link.
Gold Link in the building.
Who I admittedly didn't know jack bone about.
Gold Link's dope. Very, very,
where's
very
he from?
Cool. I think he's from Virginia.
Yeah, he's already come. Well, that landscape is looking very, you know,
East Coast-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in there.
Oh, yeah.
Gold Link.
It's a dope album. It's a dope album.
That makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So we have lots to talk about today. We got a packed show because we got Apple News. This is your favorite time of the year.
Okay.
It's Akili Shine.
Let's eat, Joe.
He comes up. He pulls up the TV. The fires open the laptop. Watches the countdown.
Let's go.
And it drops. The keynote drops.
All right.
And Akili just is clapping at home.
I'm over there clapping.
After every announcement. So yeah, man. Keynote time. The developer conference happened. The Worldwide Developers Conference 2017.
San Jose, baby.
In San Jose. 6,000 of Tim Cook's closest friends,
right,
are there to see what Apple has in store. And I have to say, I'm ready for this time. I actually came ready. I wrapped my hands. I'm ready. I'm ready for today because I feel like
you ready for me.
I'm ready.
Oh, bro.
I think
put on the gloves then.
I think this was a good. This there was some meat on this bone.
Man, put on the gloves. Let's go.
There was some meat on this bone.
Yeah, raw meat.
Come on. I mean, I really feel like that there were some very, very good announcements and some interesting products, and I want to go through them. These announcements, you know, kind of we'll go through them a little bit, and I want to hear, you know, why you think they all suck. That's good. First of all, what's your overall take? Do you feel like that this was a success? Do you feel like they have some good news? Or are you still like yawning?
I'm not yawning. The temperature is not feverish, though. Like, it's not hot, but it's some stuff that's like, okay, that's cool.
Right.
But it's nothing that's like, you know, hop out the seat, like, you know, mash out to the store and want to, like, nah, it's not like that. It's like, okay.
When's it come out?
Right. Not at all. I mean, but I think as an overall presentation, I mean, it's 2 fucking hours long. Like, they went through a whole lot of announcements and launches. I think it's a great offering.
Yeah.
But in terms of the general landscape of where we are, like, nothing that's groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But hey, I'm still an Apple loyalist. All my products are Apple.
Yep.
Like, I'll probably buy most of the shit anyway.
I agree. In fact, I'll take it one step further. A full almost 2 years later,
Don't do it.
I'm actually considering the Apple Watch.
Don't do it. I know you're going to say that. Raven just got one, actually.
I'm actually considering it.
I've seen her, like, she'd be with her wrist. I'm like, Raven, stop. Just a text message. You don't got to do all of this. Like, chill out. I'm like, yo. Like, and you have, like, the first generation. Like, calm down. And she'd be like, hold on. I'm like, it's not that serious. But anyway, like,
text.
Why are you reconsidering this, though?
Well, a few reasons. Number one, I'm really high on the Fitbit, situation right now. I think it's fantastic. I love everything about it, and I'm pretty much, you know, all in on the Fitbit culture. What I'm not in on is the Fitbit, the cosmetic end of it. I think Fitbit's, products are ugly. I wear this thing. I look like a jackass.
It's functional, brother. It's functional.
But this is the HR, the charge HR. I look like a jackass with this thing on.
I disagree, but that's okay.
But, so I'm out. I've been out a couple times, and people come up like, oh, how many steps you got, bro? I'm like, oh, I got. I'm like, oh, never mind.
Like, you don't have the
me, right?
The rings.
So, yeah, but I feel like I just like the look of the Apple Watch, and I'm just waiting for it to get less and less bugs worked out, and if it gets to the point where the price point you know, gets low enough and the bugs are gets worked out more and it integrates with my already existing Apple ecosystem, which I will not, like, as you, like you, will probably not go away from, I'm leaning more towards that. That's all.
I mean, I feel like if you have a couple extra $100 in your pocket and you want that, then it's fine. But it's not something that it's not essential at all. Like, I think it, I can't even say it accents the phone. Right. I just think it's like, okay, shit comes, a text message comes to your wrist.
Yeah.
You could answer a call. A photo comes on. All right, it tracks your exercise. Great. Yeah. But is it worth spending $200, $300, $500, you know?
I think the way I started to have to look at it, I think you're absolutely right. The way I started to have to look at it is not as I'm buying this device because it's going to change my life, but right. I'm buying this watch and, oh, by the way, it has all this extra shit on it.
Right.
Like, I need a watch.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spend, you know, a couple $100 on a watch.
Might as well get this one.
This one's got a bunch of shit on it. So right. I take it. Not like I need everything the Apple Watch is giving me because it's going to change my life, because it's not.
So speaking of the Apple Watch and this new development, since this is the fourth update to the operating system, what do you think is special about this go-around that's going to get you in the store, get the customers in the store?
Well, they keep making these improvements and everything to the fitness stuff, which I kind of like, and I feel like that they're really getting to a point where that's good. I tell you what's not getting me to the store, the addition of Woody Buzz.
Really? And,
we know how much we love Mickey. Now we're adding Woody and Buzz.
You cannot tell me that the animation is not fresh on that. That actually looked fresh.
Actually, the animation is super fresh.
Yeah.
It's not getting me to the store for Woody and Buzz. That's it? Like, that's a big announcement? And in the room, they were like,
I know, right?
They were like, stop they it. Got hype stop for that. It.
Like, please.
But yeah, so I like that. There was what was the one? Oh, the new music stuff. I don't know. At the end of the day, what I realized about the Apple Watch is I just reiterate what I just said. It's really, I just had to come to the realization that it's not about the features in the watch. It's about, like, having something that's functional on my wrist and that does all the other shit I wanted to do. That's right. Kind of what it boils down to.
Not to, like, you know, really drag this in the dirt.
No, go ahead.
So you're not impressed with the new fitness elements of it, or yeah. Like how you can integrate it now with ancillary companies?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think to me that the fitness stuff is great. I like the fact that you can go like and it works with all your machines and all the top machines like right. Stairmaster and all the other brands. Exactly. Probably like the top
Life eight, Fitness, Cybex, yeah, Matrix.
The top like eight brands that make machines.
Yeah.
Now you can just go and your workout tracks can you track out. You out yeah. And do all that. That makes sense. I right. Like that.
So you're not it's the flashlight. The flashlight's not winning you over.
A flashlight. Like, can I pay $100 more,
like,
please?
Why is that like a sell? You can actually use your watch as a light. Like, come on, dog.
No, like, they're really trying. Really trying to add features to this mug, and it's not like it's a watch, dog. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
So, do you think it was strategic for them to lead with this?
Yeah,
this is the first thing they came out with.
Yeah, you lead with your weakest stuff first.
Exactly.
Yeah, they had that. But in fact, that's what I thought. I'm like, good news. We have some new updates to the watch. I'm like, oh boy,
right?
That means nothing's happening. But I do like that they're making non-cosmetic, you know, changes to the watch. In other words, before it was like, we have new bands. And we're supposed to be like, thanks, Apple.
Right.
So, you know. But we'll see. I'm, again, I didn't say I'm there, but I'm closer. But let's get into some of this other stuff, like, that really is interesting to me. Let me ask you. Once you rank, you know, of the things, we'll go for Apple Speaker, which is the HomePod. I'm not sure about that name. The HomePod to the... I don't know about the HomePod.
Yeah, that's terrible.
First of all, it feels redundant. Like, the HomePod crib. It's the crib pad.
Oh, my God.
I just feel like Apple's got a lot of people, like, who do good at this thing. That's not a good name.
It's not.
Anyway, the HomePod... So you got the HomePod, you've got the new MacBook, the iMac Pro. You have the new iMacs, which look crazy.
Uh-huh.
You got the new iPad Pro. You've got the iMac. You got the new iOS 11.
Yep.
High Sierra,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it's called. You got the watch joints.
Yep.
And you got some other stuff. You got some updates to Apple TV, which I'm very, very excited about.
Like, okay, we'll get to that. I was about to kill you off, but it's okay.
Look, man.
You say you're very excited about...
Yes!
What are you very excited about the Apple TV? Please.
Amazon and
stop
Apple
it. Stop it, dude. Like, I can't.
I can finally get, as an avid Apple, as an avid Amazon Prime Video subscriber, it is very annoying to me that
you can't watch
my Prime Video through my Apple TV. I got to go through Roku or Xbox or some other shit. I can't even stream it.
I think there's a greater story there. Like, so this Amazon Apple collaboration, that seems kind of interesting to me. Like, the fact that they are collaborating on other things that aren't as public, but the fact that they're trying to acquire certain technologies that they can use to work together, I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. But,
I mean, okay, so Google Chromecast doesn't have Amazon. Every other device, streaming device, now does, because Apple was one of the biggest that was holding out. So, okay, that's great news. Why, is that going to make you go buy the Apple TV?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? Because I'm a huge Amazon Prime person, and I'm
the Fire Stick.
I'm committed to having a cable-free household.
Get the Fire Stick.
And I love Apple's already existing, the new Apple TV, new generation Apple TV. I love the interface. I love how it looks and feels. It's everything I need, including Sling, including everything I need. The only thing I was missing was Amazon. Now that I got Amazon,
okay,
I got everything.
Okay.
At my fingertips. All I want to watch. Can't stop me now.
All right now.
So I'm happy about it personally. Now, does that move the needle for other people who don't watch Amazon, don't care about Amazon? No.
Probably not, yeah.
But it does move the needle for me. But that excited me. But what excites you the most? What excites you the least? And what's overhyped?
Good question. So what I like the most, I would say, is, I mean, and obviously it's for my own personal usage, is the iMac Pro. I think that looks fresh, the space gray, the various elements, components they have into the hardware. I mean, it's a powerful machine. It's for, you know, it's for editors, it's for creators, it's for people that are doing stuff that you need the power to be able to deal with, you know, 8K video, and you're developing crazy animations and stuff like that, and you're making movies, essentially VR, all that type of storytelling. Yeah. You need that hardware power for. So that is really dope. Even though the price is pretty up there, I think it's starting at $5,000.
Yeah,
at the base.
Five racks is where you start.
At the base,
where you open the door, like you can't even walk into the spot without five racks in your pocket to even get the little one.
Right.
So,
but I mean, a lot of people argue that they can customize their own computer for way cheaper. But I've always had, you know, a Mac to do all my creative work. So, I mean, it's something that definitely excites me, interests me. So I would say that is the news for me.
By the way, that's the oldest argument in the book. People have been making that argument since 1986.
It is true, though. It is true, though.
It is true, but people made the argument since 1986. I don't want to hear, like, oh, I could just customize my own shit for $1,000, $1,500.
But you can, though.
So, why? What's up with Apple? I mean, okay.
You're paying for the logo.
Okay.
You're paying for the sleek design as well.
But I want some clunky ass
doesn't have
Dell
to be clunky
computer. Like, do I want like a good friend of ours?
I mean, the system. It's not about the candy paint, bro. It's about the engine. And if you can customize the engine to do what you need to do to get you where you need to go, who cares about how it looks? I don't need that triple coat paint.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Dude. So,
two words for you. Space gray.
What I disliked, or what was just like whatever, I think we kind of already covered it. The Apple Watch was kind of like whatever. Mm-hmm. I would even say the Apple TV situation didn't really move the needle for me either.
Okay.
What else?
Let's talk about what we found before I get to the big one I really want to talk about. Let's go about the iPad Pro. First of all, from my taste, I've completely lost track on what the fuck the iPad's doing. Like, there's been so many iterations of the iPad within the last, like, 3 years to me. And it feels like every 6 months there's an iPad change or update, and something's going on with it. It's a new size.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A smaller size, bigger size. There's a pen, not a pen. There's a keyboard. There's all that. I have no idea what I'm supposed to be, what to look for in an iPad, and why I need one. That being said, when I saw this one, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
that maybe I should get an iPad.
Right.
But so what do you think?
I mean, I think Apple was, I mean, if you look at Microsoft and what they've done with the Surface, and as it relates to being kind of like the little brother to, you know, the PC, I think Apple is now starting to make the leap into, okay, well, the iPad is not just for consumption, it's actually for production.
Yeah.
And so they were kind of like teetering on that, and iteration, it was for consumption. You watch movies, you check your email, you store your photos or whatnot. But now you can actually create on that bad boy.
Yeah.
So I don't think they've pushed the boundary that far. I mean, where I would justify buying the iPad Pro versus buying a laptop. Like, what? I mean, the laptop's going to offer me way more. And, like, the price jump is not that big. So it's like, why buy the iPad Pro?
This is always there have been their dilemma. It's like they're making two machines, and it also seems a little insidious because they're purposely holding back what they could do with the iPad in order to say, because people, they want people to buy these laptops.
Pretty much.
So people need to buy laptops. Exactly. So you can't make the iPad too fresh.
Exactly. Because they're not going to buy your biggest product. Your big fresh,
you know, exactly. Thing. So you got to, what's that sweet spot? So it's really like a game of them coming up with all these other kind of things that you can do.
Bigger, like you said, bigger size.
Yeah, the pen, wow, and this, that, and the other. And, but I will say the operating system, what they've done, the operating system does look pretty fresh. And so,
I mean, yeah. I think they're, I mean, but those things are kind of gimmicky. They go with time. Like, yeah. Because at the end of the day, you want to be able to have the, again, like, you want to have that iMac power. You want to be able to create. You want to be able to have it modular, or that you can be able to plug up to a hard drive, or be able to have, you know, more RAM or whatever, more speed. Like, so you can't really do those things. Like, it's a limit to your creative possibilities with the iPad Pro.
Yeah.
But
they've created a world where that you can have an iPad Pro and do almost everything you need to do, but stopping short at you only need an iPad Pro. Like, you can't walk around exclusively with an iPad Pro.
I do everything on the iPad Pro, bro.
Yeah, no. You can't be. There's plenty of people who say that, but they're not really doing nothing. So, right. So I mean, I think that's the difference here. And you know, look, with all this new keyboard works, I know people, like Lola's mom she's exclusively on that, on the keyboard, and uses that. So, I mean,
the fact that it weighs a pound versus like a laptop.
Yeah.
Not the Air, but the other MacBook Pros, like those things are a little heavier. So I get the functionality of that it's quick and easy. Like, you hop on the plane, you could travel with it, whatever. But I don't know, man. I still have my old iPad, mm-hmm. and to me, it works just fine. Like, yeah. I watch movies on there.
Yeah.
I check my email on there. I'm not really producing, creating on there. So it's I got my laptop for that.
That's kind of why. That's what I always felt. I always felt like, I don't know. I just can never justify having it, because for the price point, what am I doing? Exactly. You know, between this and this, like, what is the next step?
Exactly.
Like, what do I need that for? So they're making a good, again, they're making decent arguments, but I don't know. You know, we'll see where it goes from there. Okay, so here's the one I'm really most I want to talk about is the HomePod. Boom! Look out, Alexa.
Right. Look out, Google Assistant.
Look out, Google Assist. Look out, Cortana. We're talking about this just last week.
And even look out, Sonos.
Look
right?
Out, Sonos.
Get out of here.
Exactly. Sonos better watch it.
Yeah. Okay.
The HomePod is here. Let me stipulate by saying I like the HomePod. I thought it was fresh. I think if it does everything it says it'll do, here's all the pros. I think it's fresh. I think it's fresh looking. I think hopefully it sounds as great as it's supposed to sound. I like the modular idea, like you put one in every room, it's like Sonos. I like the little Siri interface on top, like doing the stealing a little bit from Alexa,
mm-hmm.
but also utilizing that Siri kind of mm-hmm. like thing. I like that they're really cranking up their AI, and like who played guitar on this song, or like, hey, who produced that track, or hey, we got anything else by Gold Link? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that you can do that. I don't think you can kind of do that on Alexa, but they're really like ramping up what you're able to do. I love the fact that it's integrated, completely integrated and seamless with Apple Music, because I'm all in on Apple Music. So all the Apple Music algorithms and how it tunes what you want to hear. That this will be able to do that as well,
right.
And also have your playlist ready to go in every room. All that to me seems super fresh. The cons.
Well, I'll tell you what the cons are. What's not super fresh is that it's overpriced. It's almost $350. You know what I'm saying?
Expensive.
Way too expensive. And most of the other products in this space are like almost 50% cheaper.
Yep.
Number two, they're not opening up. And this, I know it's still early, but they're not opening up to third party. So, like with Alexa, there's third party developers that could develop tricks and learning capabilities for Alexa to be able to integrate. And so, if you want to ask Alexa something, there's way more offering versus with this. It's kind of like built in the ecosystem. Whatever Apple gives you, it gives you. I don't like the fact that if I were a Spotify user, I can't get on there. I can only use it with Apple Music.
That's where they get you.
Okay. I mean, and also, I think that
Sonos used to do that. You couldn't use some shit with Sonos, but
okay.
You know,
like, but I mean, frick, Sonos is like one of the first people to be in this space.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but I love the fact that they're trying to combine the home entertainment category with the artificial intelligence assistant category. And so, I mean, I get the price point. That's their argument. Well, if you combine Sonos and you combine the Alexa, this is what the product is.
Yeah.
Right.
And of course, the already existing argument of it already goes well within your ecosystem. You can tell your watch to tell the HomePod. No, but things like Nest and some of these other things that control your thermostat and you know, Apple Home and all this stuff. Like if your home is really like wired up, like we are starting to get to, we really truly getting into this Internet of Things. You know, that's been coming for the last, you know, 5 years or so. This Apple's really creating the infrastructure in the ecosystem to do that. And it's not unlike what we talk about all the time with Facebook, or not unlike what we talk about all the time with Amazon. Even like the idea is to keep you in their ecosystem and keep you there. And so Apple's creating the same environment where, like, you know, I'm already, you mentioned it, we're already Apple loyalists. Our whole shit's Apple. Like, why am I going to buy a Sonos thing that doesn't work as well? You know, so I don't know.
Well,
that's where they may get me. This is the other insidious thing that Apple does. Yeah. Just like with the iPad, it's like, you know, I'm already all in on Apple. So they said, well, you could buy that Sonos. You could buy it, but this is going to work a lot better with your shit.
Hey, if that shit bangs, if the sound quality from that speaker is out of this world,
by all accounts, it does.
Okay. But I like someone to test it, a side by side comparison with all the ones that are that size and Sonos, and which bangs the most.
Yeah.
Like if we could do that, then I'm like, okay, that's a good product. Like that makes sense.
I think I have one of those too. I mean, we'll get to that in a second. But I think I have a someone's done a. It's kind of early to do a real one. So we'll see. I mean, who knows if this is just a. Not a real one, but anyway, yeah, I agree. I'm cautiously optimistic. The price point definitely has to come down. 100% has to come down. But I'm optimistic. We talked about what is Apple going to do in the series in the AI space. They're really ramping up, spending a lot of money on their new AI and what that looks like.
Yep.
And now we kind of know why. And I'm sure there's more stuff on the horizon. But Siri is really trying to make a comeback. And so, you know,
come back, huh?
Siri, play me, Gold Link. I don't know. So we'll see. We'll see how Siri and Alexa battle it out. But I'm excited about this.
I will say, that's my last note. I love the fact that they're expanding into this category, though. I mean, they kind of have to. I mean, to compete with Amazon and compete with Google. But I think that design wise, I think they'll always kill. But whether or not the AI, whether or not Siri can really head up fade Alexa, that's not proven yet. You know, I want to see what they can do with that.
Right.
So,
and then the idea, like, and that's the other thing. Like, what do you do? I mean, do you want like someone else? You just have one of these in every room. is that what they want?
Good luck on that. So I'm spending $3,000 for this to have it all in my own room.
Yeah, man. You know, we've got if you got six rooms in your house. That's a lot of that's a lot of money. You know, to get a speaker in every room.
Right.
So, we'll see that. But that's unlike Sonos, or it's very much like the Sonos thing where you can just pick that bad boy up, take it to another room.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess everyone doesn't have to keep their own joint, but you know, well, I mean, I don't know. So we'll see. Back to the software things. There's a lot of other things that they're doing. Like Apple's doing in within the software space. So that, you know, they've got that. Not only are they coming after Sonos, but they're also coming after Venmo and Square Cash.
This is exciting to me.
You can send money right within Messenger. But iMessage. What do you think of that?
I think it's great. I think this is something that definitely is of strong value because of the cashless society that we're in, and the fact that you might want to be able to split the bill or split the Uber or whatever it is and do it in a very quick, fast way. Again, to our earlier point about keeping you in the ecosystem. I mean, I think who knows what their long ball game is on this one in terms of, I mean, people say Apple might start a bank and, you know,
they already got have fingerprint.
The Apple credit card or whatever.
They got your fingerprint. You're already using Apple Pay for everything else.
But I think it's dope because, I mean, with other, I guess, pay sharing apps like, I mean, frick, most people are already on the iPhone texting you, hey, meet me for dinner, or great dinner, great meeting, whatever, and you send me, you know, the half of the bill, whatever, quick and easy.
Yep.
And it stays on my phone, or I could send it to my bank account, or I could use it for other stuff. I think it's fresh.
Yeah, it's very fresh. And I think it's exactly the way they're using it is fresh. And I wonder what this means for Square. I mean, I really like Square, and Venmo's Venmo. It'll be interesting to see what this means for other people, because not everyone has iPhones, you know. Right. And so, you know, you're in a world where a lot of people have, you know, Android devices. So we'll see how that interface works. Speaking of keeping people in the ecosystem, and another thing that Apple is doing is they're actually kicking some folks out of the ecosystem,
right,
primarily Facebook and Twitter. You know, people were arguing that Facebook got a real leg up when they got in bed with Apple, Twitter too, and basically that integration off the jump with your iPhone and tapping right into your contacts, and I mean, talk about spreading your user base like wildfire. They're eating your shit the moment you start. same with Twitter. So the fact that Instagram.
All of them
were all great, but now they're all going out. I mean, you still use them, but it's not integrated into your system. I think this is fan-fucking-tastic.
I know. I don't think it's fantastic, because for the end users, like, more steps for me to be able to sign up for an app. You know, I mean, I get it. It levels the playing field for all apps, so Facebook, Twitter, the big guys don't get the privileges of being able to do that versus the small developer. But still, like, okay, I download the app, now I have to 4 extra steps just to get into the app.
Yeah, well.
But I get it.
Sorry,
I get
Facebook.
It. I mean, but still, Facebook is still going
to
ask.
Get to rule the world.
They're still going to ask to peek into your contacts, regardless.
Yeah, sure, they are. I mean, look, Facebook's going to find hacks around this and make it easier for the end user. But that is just, it just doesn't automatically happen.
But it doesn't automatically happen. Like, you still have to go through the prompt. Hey, use Facebook to sign in. Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Okay. But you can say no.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's the same thing that, I mean, it's not dissimilar to what Google has done with search. I mean, Google is just, you know, they're in your phone. You know, they're on your computer. Google is the search optimization that people have to use. I mean, unless you really go outside of that. Have you heard of this new one called DuckDuckGo?
I have not. That sounds ridiculous.
It sounds ridiculous, but by accident, on my iOS, I haven't set it up properly, DuckDuckGo comes up. It's a new search. It's a horrible name too. It's going to go in there with the home pad. But DuckDuckGo is a search engine that does not track your doesn't track you. So like Google tracks.
Okay.
That's what DuckDuckGo says, dog. Okay. I'm just saying. So
how do they monetize?
I don't know. I don't read the fine print.
Right.
But all I do know is DuckDuckGo is not tracking my shit.
Okay.
I think, you know, so, and it looks very, it's very similar to Google. It took me a while to realize that, like, because it's got like a little duck in the corner and a G.
I can't.
I was like,
I can't do it.
Is that a new, what do you call the thing with Google? Is that a new Google Doodle? Must be just a little doodle. And finally, I'm like, DuckDuckGo?
Oh, why does it look weird? Oh my gosh.
So I was using it for like a day and a half before I even realized it was on there. I like it. Anyway, I digress. Another thing is, which I think is cool software wise, iPhones are going to be having this do not disturb while driving mode. I think this is great too. Especially for me, because once I'm in the car, you can't help but, you know, be distracted.
Got to be safe, man.
And some of the things like CarPlay are cool. I mean, I'm still kind of iffy on the CarPlay stuff.
What are you iffy about?
It still feels like it's a lot better than looking down in your phone and fumbling and having to drop between your legs and looking up and dying, but it's still somewhat distracting and doesn't have everything you need. I've only messed with it twice.
I like CarPlay. I think it has the safe functionality because you can only hear the messages. You can't text them back, and you can only use your voice to respond back. So
right.
I mean, I think it works. But right. I mean, as it relates to this,
there's no privacy in the car, people.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. You got to unplug your joint.
Yeah, you put it in there, like, shit just starts popping up. Thanks for last night.
Yeah, you left your drawers over here.
Like, CarPlay! Mute, mute, mute!
Right. It's a crash. He died because...
what I'm saying.
All right.
It is
oh,
anyway.
My goodness.
But I guess, I don't know. I mean, that's just me. I don't know. All right.
I think this is great because you got to be safe when you're driving. And yeah, you're right. Text messaging. I think there was even a study that said text messaging slows your reaction time even more so than if you were drunk. So it's like 3 times slower than if you were actually drunk. So the fact that, and plus Apple got sued because that one person was FaceTiming, and I think they died using the FaceTime while they were driving. And so Apple is doing its due diligence to make sure that we're all safe, which I think is great.
Fine.
So.
Fine. There is, I mean, I'm very pro this. I like it a lot. What else? Just some small stuff. I mean, do you care that they're dropping it? They're dropping their price on the cloud storage down to $999 and for two terabytes. They're not offering the 1 terabyte option. Is that something that moves the needle for you?
I mean, I think cloud storage is where it's at. I mean, we're also media dependent. It's like we need to be able to. Sorry, Marissa. We need to be able to back up our photos and our videos. And so I think this is. I mean, to be able to have a terabyte for $10 a month. I mean, 2 terabytes for $10 a month. Because before it was 1 terabyte for $10 a month. I think it's competitive because I know that Dropbox, I think, is $10 a month for 1 terabyte. So, I mean, they're already giving you an advantage with that.
Right.
And the fact that, yeah, you use your phone. You take hundreds, if not thousands of photos and videos. Like, right. You want to be able to store them properly. And to have the space for a cheap price, I think is great.
Yeah.
However, they should have raised the free amount a little higher. I think it's only 5 gigs. Like, at least give us like 20 for free, you know? Sorry. Especially since the jump is like 200 gigs, then it's a terabyte. Like,
right.
It's like a huge jump.
I think there's going to be more coming. One last thing about, we can move pop culture. One last thing about this, the whole HomePod situation.
Oh, he went back to the HomePod.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the comparisons here. I found that comparison chart. I'm looking at some of the stuff. I mean, look, it is really killing. I mean, the price point is not as great. If you compare it to like the Sony Play 3 and the Sony, Sonos Play 3 and the Sonos Play 1, you know, it's got like one inch tweeter. You know, this one's got 7 tweeters. Son.
Stop it, bro. Stop it, dude.
7 to 1 Sonos. How many tweeters you got, Sonos? 1. And they got you know, again, this has got a three inch mid range and woofer. This one's got a 4 inch.
Bro, I can't. Please stop, bro. Stop.
Size matters. No, but okay. But all this stuff. But the only thing, this, I mean, look, this, it looks like it's killing them in every category except for price. Except when you compare the price between the Echo and the Google Home, it's double. But when you get, compare it to the Sonos, it makes more sense. If you add those two systems together, you know, the Home is looking
all
pretty
good. Subwoofers aren't created equal. I got to hear this bad boy. No, I got to hear it. Like, that, it could have 100 tweeters and subwoofers if it sounds terrible.
Yes. But Sonos, the support and this other thing. So the support, Apple Music. Sonos,
everything.
Yeah. So this, which brings me to my next question. We talked about what's our boy Jay-Z going to do? What's the move he could do? What if he signs an exclusive deal with Sonos? What if Sonos shuts out Apple? Shuts out everything?
They wouldn't do that.
Tidal.
That wouldn't work to their advantage. Right. Why? They need everybody.
Right. But then that's the other question I have for you. I've got my brand new HomePod. I'm all ready to go. I've outfitted my house with the HomePod. I spent $1,500. The new Jay-Z record comes out. Sorry.
Better listen to it on your free Apple headphones that came with your phone.
I can't listen to Jay-Z on my new HomePod setup. No Jay-Z.
No Hove.
So I wonder if that's going to be what are they going to do? Are they going to allow Tidal on this thing? As of right now, it's a no. It's just Apple Music.
But there has to be some functionality with AirPlay, right? So you could be able to listen through anything. Like, if you're on YouTube, you should be able to listen to YouTube through the speaker.
You should be
so
able
you
to.
Can't maybe access the AI functionality through the HomePlay.
That's right.
But you can definitely stream it from your phone.
It is multi-room audio AirPlay, yeah. So we'll see. That's interesting. Okay. All right.
See, you about to have Jay-Z fucked up.
Man!
I saw those fucked up.
I'm saying. I'm like, I'm really concerned about this. So, all right. So, moving on. A couple of things. Well, first of all, you know, HBO is really making this move. HBO is adapting Brown Girls, which is this web series. know, not necessarily for us, but it is about us, about our people, not necessarily just, you know, just women and shit. But what I like about it is HBO's really reaching in and finding these really good popular web series, especially with featuring people of color, and you know, giving them some money and doing it on HBO. I mean, the success of Issa Rae's
Insecure.
Insecure. Yeah. I mean, that they're like looking for more shit. Even my man's other the web series, the weed dude, what's his name? High Times, not High Times. But anyway, that weed web series that the dude is on. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, HBO got that too. So I don't know, man.
I know. It speaks to the power of monetizing an audience. Yeah. And then, I mean, shit, who would have thought when she started this on YouTube or even started on Vimeo that they would have created an audience that would be acquired by a titan like HBO. And so I think people should stop downplaying content creators on different platforms.
That's right.
Because, hey, you're competing against now like the big guys, you know what I'm saying? Because you have figured out a way to build an audience, a sustainable audience. And these are stories that haven't really gotten the opportunity to get the proper light of day and shine. So I think that it's great to be able to have women directors, women producers telling stories about women of color and getting like the highest distribution platform that there could be, like a HBO.
So one thing you used to be able to say about art when it comes to whether it's music and bands and also actors and actresses, especially stuff like this, is the cream never didn't used to always rise to the top. I mean, you could be really high quality stuff and be just shouting into the ether. No one sees you. No one hears you. You can be an amazing band, amazing artist, amazing singer. No one's ever heard of you. Same thing in the acting. That's really not the case anymore. I mean, the internet's really flattened that. You thought it would be flattened in a long time ago, but the way people consume content now, mm-hmm. it really is flat, because it is the same for millennials. It is the same. HBO versus watching a show on YouTube or watching a show on Vimeo, if you're finding the content and you like the content itself, I mean, Instagram has proven that. How many Instagram stars? You know, if you like the content, you like the world, you're going to find it. So
I mean, even so much as far as I like the content, like I can overlook the production value of it.
Yeah.
It may not sound as great, may not look as great, but I love the story. It resonates with me.
Yeah,
I think that's the power of the content creator.
I mean, Insecure, I mean, Broad City was the same way. Exactly. So, like, this is, yeah, you're right. This is definitely the era of the content creator, and it's probably HBO for doing that. Wonder Woman versus The Mummy. First of all, I saw Wonder Woman. I loved Wonder Woman.
Me too. It was great.
It was really great. I mean, it got a little Zack Snyder-y at the end.
It was a little corny at the end. I represent love.
The battle. and you know, the battle at the end was a little like ho-hum.
It was.
But it was just a lot of just exploding, people throwing around, physics are all off, like weird jumps, weird, you know, things throwing, exploding. I don't know if I cared about that. And that's upsetting, because I really do like the action stuff.
Yeah.
But the movie was excellent.
It was great.
She's bad, man. Bad. She is a super baddie as a Wonder Woman. I mean, she could not be more perfectly cast as Wonder Woman. She's beautiful. She's charismatic. Mm-hmm. She's vulnerable. She's all those things. She's tough. She's a badass in the movie. And the movie was fun. It was funny.
Hold on. Stop the presses. You thought it was funny?
I laughed at some point. Yeah,
man, that's my only criticism. I thought, like, with Marvel movies, the shit is funny. I feel like this DC iteration,
right,
of them trying to be funny, like it did not land. It did not land at all.
So the audience I saw with, they were laughing at all of the
really.
Because they were hitting like a lot of romantic comedy notes.
Yeah, I thought they were like really
flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not to give anything away, but the scene where he's coming out the pool.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was not funny.
Yeah. That shit got big laughs in the theater. I didn't think that was funny. But I like the stuff in the boat when they're on the boat together. I thought that was that was cool. And there's other like little like sort of like, you know, romantic comedy style banter and dialogue, which I thought was very clever. And I thought that Chris Pine plays well and she played well. I just really love that she remains sort of strong woman throughout.
Yeah.
I mentioned she's bad. She's gorgeous. But the other thing is, all of the Paradise Island stuff was also dope.
Super fresh,
and then the way they just addressed all of it, and there's some of all races and black folks and everyone in there, and are just powerful women, number one. Number two, Robin Wright, man, she's dope as hell. Number two, I like that it's a very good way to hide Gal Gadot's Israeli accent, but I have no island speaking accent. Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, how's Wonder Woman gonna be like, you know and all of a sudden, no island's like.
But you know, the Amazons speak hundreds of languages.
That was also a nice little touch in there. That's why they have the affected accent, because they speak hundreds of languages. Good for them.
But I will say, I love the cinematography in terms of some of the iconic images where they isolated on her action moves.
Oh yeah,
like those are fresh. Those like are really fresh. The way her body. I'm sorry, the way her body was positioned. I don't mean it in like a sexualized way.
Too late.
The way her body was positioned with her weaponry.
Oh yeah,
it just looks super fresh, like super like powerful, like just. Put that shit on a poster, you know?
I mean, I want to position your body with some weaponry. <for a while. laughs> I got some weaponry. I'm kidding.
Quick question for you. Yes. So you think that this is a good... Is this a comeback for DC, number one? And two, is this a good, I guess, like, passing of the baton for the next film?
Yes and yes. The way they position this is really... It really just... it gets inserted nicely in the middle of Batman versus Superman, an already 3-hour and 20-minute movie. Right. So he really wanted to just do something you could pause that one scene and start Wonder Woman and then restart it and then go back to Batman versus Superman. That's kind of that'd be kind of a fun thing to do if you have an extra 5.5 hours. But I liked it a lot. I think they did a really good job with it, and I think they use that same, you know, the same connectivity in. You'll see this in the Aquaman movie.
What about Justice League?
Well, Justice League, I'm saying, when we get the introduction to Aquaman, they're gonna use the Justice League stuff to tell the Aquaman backstory.
Right.
So you'll be able to insert, just like you can insert this right in the middle of Batman vs. Superman, you'll be able to insert Aquaman in the middle of Justice League.
Right.
Like, so that little time between Bruce Wayne meeting Aquaman and him joining the Justice League, there's a whole story that happens in
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
So I think that's really interesting. I think it's a really cool way to do the origin story when you have a larger story to tell.
Exactly.
Instead of going back and on the origin, you can kind of like inserted in.
You still got to tie it all together.
So yeah,
I get it.
I'm a little. I watched the Justice League trailer again.
That's how I felt too.
I don't know. Zack Snyder. A little.
Because when I first watched Wonder Woman, I was like, this is hot. Like, let's go.
The trailer was amazing. Right. The art's amazing. The movie was amazing. I watched that latest Justice League trailer. I was like, I don't know, Zack Snyder. I don't know. So we'll see. And, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be good. Speaking of not being good, The Mummy opens tomorrow. It opens in 2 days, tomorrow night. We talked about the big bet on the Dark Universe that they're doing. They've already spent a lot of money
writing Universal.
All the stars. Yeah, the Dark Universe from Universal. I didn't make that connection. So that's all fine. All these old guys are doing it. But they held that Rotten Tomatoes score to the very end, and like they did not screen this film, and that was always a bad sign. They did not screen the film. They just started screening the film because they had to because it opened in Korea and some other places. And the good news for them is they're really putting a heavy spin on this. It's broke records in South Korea. It's breaking records in South Korea. It's on pace to being a worldwide hit. That's the good news. The bad news, though, is if you check on Rotten Tomatoes, The Mummy is at 26%. Ouch! Now, granted, there's no consensus yet. It's only 42 reviews, but...
Still low, though.
That's a bad start, dog.
Yeah.
I don't know. Top critics are giving it 20. Top critics, 9. So, 7 top critics. That's not tracking well.
No, it's not. But, I mean... Hey, I can't
the 20s.
I can't base my affinity to movies based on Rotten Tomatoes. So I felt the trailer looked fresh, in my opinion. But obviously the trailer may not, you know, hold up to the actual movie.
I think the trailer looks great.
Looks great, and I'm a fan of Tom Cruise, and I think that, you know, that's what the spin was. He's an international star.
Yes,
like his worldwide sales, you know, are always larger than his domestic sales or whatever. Like,
right.
But still, I mean, I'm gonna go see this movie. I think it's fresh. I hope it's dope. I hope it's a good lead in to the Dark Universe or whatever, but we'll see.
We will see, man. That's all I got. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about something. I'm going to see it. I'm a little concerned. The 20s is not good. When they held the number back, I was like, they're not reviewing this. They're not screening this movie. Hmm. That means the studio knows. The studio knows when the movie's terrible. Like, they knew Wonder Woman was hot. They started pushing all the chips in the middle of the table and started spending all this money.
Marketing money,
The money, they have no choice but to spend marketing money. But by the way, last thing I'll say about this when we get out of here, you can already see the spin. If you read between the lines of some of these articles, the spin is already like, you know, it was... It was only a $100 million movie with tax rebates. Like, they're already spending, like, it only costs $120 million, which is a lot. I think it costs more like $250 million. But it's about tax rebates.
Stop it.
So they're already, like, trying to get you set it up for, like, oh, it's a success. It made all this money. It's going to be a hit. I don't know, man. They're already, the spin has already started. The numbers from South Korea are in. It's a hit. Like, stop it. So I don't know. I see right through all that stuff. We'll see.
I differ from you on that. I agree that if it tanks here, it still could be successful worldwide.
Of course.
So I think they're still going to cash out regardless.
Yeah. I mean, look at Transformers.
Right.
Look at,
exactly.
The Transformers are the biggest example. I think a Transformer movie.
It's China, baby.
Has ever gotten higher than like a 40 in Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
Ever.
But they still bring in that cash,
and
baby.
They're on the fifth or sixth one. Like, yeah. They're still making them. They just make so much money.
Have you seen that trailer?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I actually haven't seen the last three. And I'm just out.
Got it.
So we'll see. I'm out of Michael Bay. I'm out of him. Sorry.
Yeah.
He's got a shitload of money, but I'm out of him. All right. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nah, baby. Let's eat, baby.
Let's eat. That's all we got. We will see you guys next week. We're going to go and rewatch the developers conference. We're going to watch all 2 hours.
We're not.
We're going to analyze it and put it online. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening and watching. Akili, where can the people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine. AKILISHINE. And where can they find you?
On Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. And eating lunch in about 15 minutes. I will speak to you soon. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. From executives Kevin Undergaro.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.